Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 290.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 290. Wow. 10 more episodes to 300. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. As always, this is a great episode. This podcast went a lot longer than I expected it to, but there's a lot of amazing information that I wanted to give out. It was more teaching away from the piano, which I know doesn't really tend to perform so well on YouTube these days with so many people wanting fast information. But if you have the discipline, the patience to listen to me talk, I find that in a lot of situations when I do that, I pick up a lot of amazing nuggets, a lot of amazing knowledge than if I just kind of breeze through something or I switch to another video on YouTube or another podcast, right? A lot of amazing information is found within the depths of podcasts or within the depths of the internet world, the stratosphere, right? On YouTube videos. If you do listen through them in their entirety, you'll find a lot of amazing information. And that is the truth with this one for sure. I go over my theory sequence process, a practice routine that you can use every single day to not only achieve faster results in your playing, but just build confidence and kind of security in a direction you can take to learn jazz piano. Because a lot of times it's the unknowing of what to do, what to practice, what to work on, that holds students back. And obviously, if you're paying for a teacher, the teacher may guide you in some sort of direction, but I've found that even with teachers, it may be hit or miss. It may be a lot of, what do you want to work on? Watch me play, copy what I'm doing. Great, I'll see you next week. You don't really get much to work on, you know, by yourself. You don't really know what to work on. It can be very frustrating. It was for me for a long time of just studying with different teachers. And, you know, there was one teacher that I had that I absolutely loved. And I take a lot of my teaching from his process, very systematic, wrote down everything for me, very structured. Here are the exercises you want to work on. Here's what you want to do every single day. So I find that very helpful. And I didn't find many teachers that did that. He was like one out of, you know, 10 or 20 teachers that actually gave me a very systematic process. There was another teacher I had in college that was very systematic. And that process isn't for everyone. I get it. But if you want to achieve a high level of jazz piano playing, I'll tell you right now, you have to be granular and focused and dedicated to going and jumping through every loophole. Because the smallest things, the smallest weaknesses will shine very quickly. They will hold you back very, very quickly in this craft. And I think that really relates to about everything in life, right? If you're really not digging into the trenches of problems and pain points and things in the back of your brain that you know you're not doing, but you actually need to unearth, right, and uncover and really tackle, then you're not going to make the progress you want. You're not going to be the person you want to be, I should say, if you're dealing with, you know, emotional struggles or, you know, any sort of maybe therapeutic things, you know, for your mental health or any sort of craft or skill set. I mean, making progress in life is really about tackling the stuff that's presenting those problems. We have to tackle the pain points. We have to get in there and do the work, right, in order to get better. And that's what this is about. And if you use this practice system every day, I promise you, you'll get so many more results out of the knowledge that you learn all over the internet. The knowledge you learn from me. If you are a member listening, the knowledge inside of Jazz Piano School can be and should be applied in the way that I teach in this podcast lesson. So it's a very deep system and I cover it very quickly, but if you can kind of really listen hard to the things that I'm trying to express and articulate, they'll sink in and it'll be life-changing. It'll be, you know, not to toot my own horn, but it was life-changing for me. And the reason I speak like this is because it really was for me. I created this system, this process out of the struggles that I went through, you know, kind of like a phoenix, but it really came into this world and developed because I was sick and tired of learning jazz in a particular way that was, I found very frustrating, very defeating, very opposite of hopeful, you know, not hopeful, not inspiring, not motivating. And I was like, this stinks, you know? I don't want to learn jazz like this. This isn't fun. And, you know, I guess it's for some people, but I found that in my journey after teaching thousands of students, okay, like literally that most students, 99% of students, when I've taught them the system, when they're working with me and teaching, or excuse me, studying under me, utilizing this process, I've seen tremendous results in their playing. And the most important thing is that the student feels confident and happy and much more inspired to learn the music than they ever have before. And that's life-changing for a student. Like to be able to feel confident and happy about waking up in the morning and being excited to practice something, excited to make progress, it's truly life-changing. I mean, that snowballs and gains, it helps you gain momentum so much faster than anything else does. When you feel this, you know, your feelings and your emotions, like your mentality goes hand in hand with everything you do in life, whether it's piano, whether it's your job, whether it's your relationship, whether it's finances, whatever your dreams and goals are in life, if your mentality is not matching up with what you need to do, you're never going to be able to do the work that you need to get done because your mind is controlling your body, right? Your mind controls your actions in life. Every single moment of the day, your mind's telling you. And your mind knows you, okay? It knows your disadvantages. It knows your weaknesses. It knows you in and out like no one else does. And it can tell you to do the work. It can tell you to be patient, be disciplined, and do this. Or it can tell you to go watch Netflix. It can tell you to avoid the problems, not talk about the problems, not tackle the problems that you know in the back of your mind and another part of your brain that you need to do, but it's not allowing you to do it, right? There's a mental block there that's not allowing you to do it. Wow. Really went off there. I'm working on my other business about inspiration, motivation, and helping creatives start a business like Jazz Piano School and get into creative freedom in their life, achieving goals, inspiring others, helping others as a catalyst, right? That kind of hopefully can be passed down. I love giving. I love teaching. And I think it's coming out in this podcast right now. So anyway, fantastic episode here that I'm going to be diving into a second. There was something I wanted to share. I'm trying to remember. Yes, I got it. Okay. So this is the 290th episode of Jazz Piano School. Over the next 10 episodes, I'm going to throw a little request out there because for the 300th episode, what I want to do is highlight you. A lot of people just got really nervous out there. They're like, wait, what? Me? He wants to highlight me? Yes. I want to highlight you. I want to highlight the listeners. I want to highlight the players. I want to highlight the supporters of Jazz Piano School that stuck with me for so long. And I want you to send me either a video if you want to be seen and heard on YouTube, because I release this onto my YouTube channel, Jazz Piano School on YouTube. If you want to be seen on YouTube, then I want you to send me a clip of your playing, a video of your playing, and try to make it short if possible. And even if you send me like a 10-second clip, I'll probably narrow it down to like 5 seconds, honestly. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to piece together all of these clips of students playing piano, not students, but just listeners, followers. You don't even have to be a member of Jazz Piano School. If you are involved with Jazz Piano and you're listening to this podcast right now and you want to be a part of this 300th episode, I love internet because content lives on forever, right? It's like a historical archive, which is super fun. So this will live on forever. Maybe I'll get to the 500th episode in Jazz Piano School, or I should say the 600th episode 10 years later. We'll look back and be like, oh my God, listen to this. Look how much I've grown, right? You may be a gigging jazz pianist by that time, but send me a video clip. If you don't want to be seen on YouTube, send me an MP3. Now, what you can do to send this is go write an email and send an email to support@jazzpianoschool.com. This is going to get sent to my team and I, and we will download these. We will save these. Here's what I want in the video. I want the tune that you're playing, because sometimes it's hard to recognize. So write the tune that you're playing. Okay, write your name and either send a video. If you send a video, I'll assume that you want to be in the YouTube release. If you send just an MP3 file, I will assume that you don't want to be seen. You'll just want to be in the audio version, which is released on all the streaming audio platforms of the podcast, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, you know, all the platforms that release the podcast to. Okay? Again, write an email to support@jazzpianoschool.com with a little audio clip or video clip of your playing. It could be long too. It can be a long clip, 1 minute, but I'm just letting you know we're going to splice it down, obviously. Otherwise, this video will probably be 1,000 hours long. But we're going to edit it down, and I want to recognize all of you for the support that you've shown to Jazz Piano School, for supporting me, following me, listening to me. And it's honestly, it's you guys that make my job inspiring. I shouldn't even call it a job. I mean, it's truly my passion. Like, I love sitting here doing the podcast. I love teaching. I love creating courses. I love running these programs for all of you. I love everything about this. And without you, I'd be talking to no one. You know, I'd be interacting with no one, and that's no fun. So it's truly you that makes this whole experience amazing. It makes my passion thrive for education, for helping others, and I love helping you learn this beautiful art of jazz piano. So I really want to uplift all of you. I really want to highlight all of you and share, if you want to be a part of this amazing kind of 300th episode, podcast episode, share people's playing. And it doesn't matter, even if you're a beginner, right? It doesn't even have to be a tune. I know so many questions are going to come up. Do I have to play a tune? Do I have to play? You could be playing at practice exercise. You could be practicing one thing, like highlighting the art of practice. That's an amazing thing as well. Like showing your journey, right? You at the grindstone in the shed working on this craft. That's an amazing thing to see. So don't think it has to be a beautiful. Like if you are working at something and it doesn't sound good, power to you. You're working at it. That's the point, right? The truth and the reality of the process is not that everything that we do is amazing. 99% of everything that we work on and do and put out in the world is actually crap. And I heard something else the other day, which was super funny, that for writers, the process of writing, if there's any writers out there, is just writing as much as possible to like get the words flowing, to get the language out there. And then after that, I shouldn't say 99%, I'm sorry. It's 99% is thrown away is what I meant to say. So like the majority of what you write at first to try and write a book or write a whatever, I'm not a writer, so you know, but it's thrown away. But that's kind of like what jazz piano is too. The majority of what you do does not sound good. It's the process. This is what the process is. It's an ugly truth. Like it takes so much work, so much effort to work through all this terrible sounding thing, you know, stuff that we play in order to get better, right? So even if you're playing something that, you know, in your eyes and your ears, I should say, doesn't sound good, send it to me. That's completely okay. I want to highlight students working at their craft, working at their dream, working at their goal of playing jazz piano. And it doesn't matter what you send me. If you send me scales, that's great. If you send me you improvising on the spot
where you don't even know what you're playing, that's great. If you send me a 5-second snippet of you playing some music, you know, that you're reading, that's great. It doesn't matter. Send me anything that you want and I'll put it in this video. Okay. Whew, long intro, long podcast lesson. So you're in for a treat if you've made it this far, but without further ado, here we go. All right. So bear with me because this lesson is going to be kind of two parts. The first part is going to be about picking the category or concept, as you're going to hear me explain, that you want to focus on. And then the second layer, the second part, is going to be about how to take that concept and actually practice it in an everyday routine using my 4-step process, okay? So in jazz, the number one thing that really holds students back is practicing and picking some sort of thing to work on, because a lot of us have no idea what to work on, right? So we can practice voicings. We can practice rootless voicings, right? You might be doing this. You can practice rootless voicings in 2-5-1s. You can practice upper structure triads, right? So you could play half steps, whole steps, whatever. You can practice improv. Whatever that may look like for you, right? You might not have an idea of what that looks like. So you may sit down at the piano and say, okay, I'm going to practice improv, right? What is the process of practicing improv look like for you? Does it look like this? You just sit down, you try some licks out, right? So maybe you do that, right? But you're not really sure if you're actually making any progress or not. You might sit down at the piano, you might say, okay, I'm going to practice jazz and I'm going to play through some tunes. So maybe you play through Stella, however you know how to play solo piano, right? Maybe you say, I'm going to practice Autumn Leaves. Practice, again, I keep putting this in quotes, because what is your version of practicing? Practicing is not just the process of playing through tunes. That's not actual practicing, because you're not focused in on concepts. So when you sit down, you play Autumn Leaves, right? However you know how to play it, maybe you're doing this. Unless you're really focused in on a specific target, a goal that you want to accomplish to get better, you're really not practicing anything. And that's why it's so students in jazz to make progress, because there's so much information out there on the internet. You're watching this YouTube video right now. You might go to someone else's YouTube video. They might teach you a cool arpeggio lick like this. And then you're like, oh, cool, I want to practice that. But is that actually helping you reach your goal, okay? So the first part here is that I really want you to get meticulous and surgical about the area that you want to make progress in. Now, I'm going to give you a couple categories to choose from, okay? Number one, if your goal is to play solo piano, then solo piano is a skill set on its own. Now, within the solo piano skill set, you have a couple different things to choose from or focus on. When I play solo piano, I can play tunes without improvisation. So you may want to play solo piano and not improvise, because that's a whole other ballgame as well. So I might want to just be able to do this. Right? You may just want to be able to sit down at the piano and play through tunes. That's a completely great goal. You may want to be able to improvise while playing solo piano. That's a whole nother focus topic point that you're gonna need to set as a goal as well. They don't go hand in hand. You can't just practice all of it at once. Now, you also may be playing through Stella or any other kind of ballad. You may not have great voicings or understanding of how to arrange the chords in solo piano, right? You may be playing some very simple things like, all 1-3s and 7s, all root position in your left hand, right? So your goal may be, okay, I really want to get some new voicings happening and work on those voicings to integrate into my solo piano performance. Now, let's say you're not even interested in playing solo piano. Maybe you're playing with bands, you're playing with groups, and you want some more voicings. You want some cool drop twos. Whatever it is. I'm really honestly just playing kind of random chords at this point just to demonstrate. But that may be your goal as well. Maybe you're playing in band, you want to know how to comp. Right? Maybe you just want to learn how to comp. That would be your focus point. But see, the thing is that students get so hung up going on the internet, learning from teachers where they have no path. They have no goal because jazz piano is nebulous. You can take on so much information and it can never connect. You could learn 1,000 things and none of those things could ever connect to lead you in a straight line to actually achieve the goal that you want. That's honestly one of the top three issues that students have is learning random bits of information that never really connect to help them gain progress. So the first thing, the very first thing to develop a practice routine and achieve and make results faster in your playing is you need to focus in on really specific concepts, okay? So pick something out of your solo piano. I know this is hard when you don't have a teacher and stuff like that. And if you're a member inside of Jazz Piano School, you can always come to me. You can ask me about these things. But when you don't have a teacher, you don't have a mentor helping you, it's difficult to do this. But do you want to learn solo piano? All right, if you do, then probably you need to learn how to arrange your hands to create some more better voicings like this. Right, just to make it more lush, right? That's one of the number one things that I see students struggle with, okay? So that might be your focus, okay? You're looking to play more solo piano. Good, write it down. I want to learn how to do this. Solo piano is your goal. Maybe you'll need to learn more voicings in solo piano. If solo piano is not your goal, maybe your goal is to learn voicings on the piano because you're playing in a band. You want to learn how to comp. Right? So that may be your goal. Write that down. Okay. Maybe your goal is improvisation though. Maybe you're playing in a band. You want to learn how to improvise a little bit more, right? You want to learn how to play maybe the blues. Right? You want to learn how to improvise because you're playing in the band. Okay. That might be your goal. Whatever your goal is, okay, write it down because you need to find out where you are. In order to practice something and get to a higher level of playing, you need to know where you're at because where you're at in your path, in your journey, will tell you the next steps that you need to work on. Like I said, a lot of students don't practice the next steps that they need to work on. They practice miscellaneous information that's like side paths that stop them from making progress in the true thing that they want because you think it's what you need, but you're not the teacher, right? You don't know what you really need because you're not the professional. So you start to go on the internet. This is what I did, by the way, okay? I'm not kind of just throwing this stuff out there, trying to make you feel guilty. I did this too, okay? And I learned from my experiences, so now I'm trying to share them with you. So you go on the internet, you find other things that you think you need, but they're really not the step to bring you forward, okay? So let's say you need voicings. Find out where you are. Do you know your triads? Do you know all triads, right? Do you know your major, do your minor? Do you know your seventh chords? All root position seventh chords, okay? Majors, minors, dominants. Do you know your inversions? Right? Can you voice lead your seventh chords through 2-5-1s? Do you know your rootless voicings? Can you create two-hand voicings with your rootless voicings? Right? Can you change or alter the extensions in your two-hand voicings with your rootless voicings? So you need to figure out where you are in your path. And if you're improvising, right, do you know your chord tones? Can you improvise with chord tones? Can you improvise with connecting motion or what I call glue notes? Right? Do you know any bebop approaches? Right? Do you know any improvisational tools like the altered scale or the half whole scale to kind of bring your sound out a little bit, incorporating that with bebop? Right? okay? So find out where you are in your path. And again, inside of Jazz Piano School, there's a lot of different areas to do that. Obviously, there's a lot of resources on Jazz Piano School. I highly recommend you go check out my 2023 planning information podcast and things like that. I go and break down all the different paths in these areas for you to find out where you are, but just really kind of start to understand what steps are necessary to go down the path of improv, to go down the path of voicings, to go down the path of solo piano, to go down the path of comping, okay? And make that your goal. So I'm going to give you an example now. We're going to move on to part two. Part two is once you focus on this specific thing, okay? Let's take improv, for example. Let's say you are at a point where you're improvising diatonically and it kind of sounds okay. Let's say if you're improvising in the key of C. Right? And it sounds kind of blandish, but you need some more spunk. You need some more spice to it, right? The next step here might be to work on your bebop approach notes. Now, here's my four-step process to take a concept, work on it every single day to create a practice routine to start to achieve really fast results in your playing. Step number one, you need to learn the concept. You need to learn the theory behind the concept, the tool. These are all just tools. It's like learning how to use a chainsaw or a nail gun or some sort of tool you want to put in your tool bag so you can use it to build houses, to build your house, your improv house, right? So the concept behind bebop approaches is you need to understand that your bebop approaches are surrounding your chord tones, right? That's the concept there. So theoretically, you need to understand this without music. Okay, without reading exercises on the piano, you need to understand the theory behind this, right? So the first part of the four-step practice routine is theory and understanding. It's the knowledge of the concept. It's not the ability to execute the concept yet. That's going to come next. It's just the understanding of the concept to understand what the purpose of that tool is, what it's going to do for you, how it's going to elevate your playing, and the sound it's going to create. So by practicing this every day, what you're going to do is you're going to play through all four of these steps every single day. So take 10 minutes and learn this concept and work on it every day. So here's the first thing you want to do. Let's say you're working on half step below approach. Play your half step below approach in different keys through your 2-5-1s, or maybe just one chord. Maybe just take all your minor chords. Here's my half-step below approach, half-step below approach. I'm not playing with any time. I'm not worrying about technique. I'm simply looking at the notes and learning that this half-step below approach means I'm going to play a half-step below interval below my chord tone, and this can create tension and release, which gives me the bebop sound in my playing. So I can start my improv lines with a half-step below approach, and I can also resolve into chord tones to get into my next chord with the use of that half step below approach. So now that I understand that, that's a great first step because now we can start to work on it and apply it. So by practicing theory, here's what I mean. There's no time, you're just working it out on the piano. The act of practicing theory is you playing through the theoretical concept on the piano and learning it for yourself without any time. Again, it doesn't matter if your technique's good or not. That's not what this step is about. It's about learning the exercise. Then we go to a G7 chord if we're doing 2-5-1s. Right? Just like this. Okay, there's millions of ways you can practice your half step below approaches. Again, inside of Jazz Piano School, all those exercises are laid out for you. But pick whatever you want. If you want to do all your minor 7 chords, you can. If you want to do all your dominant chords, you can do that. And if you're a more advanced player, you can do chord scale above, half step below. Right? You can do all sorts of things. This system works for no matter how beginner you are, intermediate or advanced. I still use this to this day. Okay? So that's the first part. Step number two is actually the technical process of working on this exercise so your fingers start to get it. Your hands start to get it. No matter what theoretical tool you're working on, you're gonna apply some pressure. So I would put on metronome on now, and we're actually doing the exercises. So most people start here. They skip the theoretical concept because they say, oh, okay, I know it, I got it, I'm just gonna play the exercises. The exercises will help me. No, the exercises are to help your hand execute the theoretical concept. But most people don't even understand the theoretical concept to begin with. They start playing exercises by reading the notes, and then they're handcuffed to the music, which prevents them from achieving freedom in jazz piano, which is the ability to improvise jazz music without music, right? Reading notes. So here we go. Put the metronome on, maybe 70 BPM, and very slowly, maybe just the right hand alone. Don't even add your left hand in. You're just executing the exercise. Very slowly learning it. So I'm just doing my D minor 7. I'm going to go to my G7 now. Just like this, right? So this is step number 2. I'm doing technique now of my concept that I'm working on. And now here's my C major. Right, so on and so forth. So now this part of this process is executing the exercise. If you've picked something from your voicings category, this part of the process is executing that voicing. So if you're learning your two-handed voicings with some drop twos, maybe it's this setup here. You're gonna use this setup. So you're gonna flip a metronome on, practice this through your keys or through down by half steps with that metronome on to apply some pressure. So again, you're practicing the act of executing this concept that you now know, you understand what's happening. I have my 1 and 7 here. I got my rootless voicing here, and I'm lifting up the second note from the top, my third finger. Okay, because you learn that in the theory part of it, of the step. So now that you know how to execute and you're practicing some technique, the third step is going to be improv, but not in the way that you think. The improv of this tool means you're practicing the spontaneous act of utilizing the tool in different types of controlled situations. Controlled being the key word here. Just because I've worked on my half step below doesn't mean I can just flip open to a tune and start to use it. And that's where most students go wrong. It's like, okay, I practice these exercises, I'm gonna go try and use them in a tune. There's a huge disparity, huge gap in that step that you're not accomplishing, which is the act of practicing spontaneity and improvisation with the use of that tool. And we wanna do that in baby steps. So here's what I mean. I'm gonna take one chord and I'm going to practice first without a metronome, the act of just using my half step below to create some lines, okay? So I'm improvising without time yet to just start the process of learning how to use this spontaneously. So I might try going to the third and starting a line. Cool, that sounded pretty good. I'm gonna try the fifth. I'm gonna try my half step below to the fifth. Cool, that sounded pretty good. Maybe I'll end with a half step below approach too. Right? So right now you're just getting comfortable and used to the process of practicing spontaneity with the tool that you're working on. There's no pressure yet. There's no time yet. You're just working it out without a metronome. Right? Okay, and you can do this again with so many different types of exercises. You can do 2-5-1s. You can do, again, all controlled exercises. So maybe you want to practice through your 2-5-1s. Maybe you want to use a half step below approach to resolve into the next chord tone of every single chord. Maybe that's your exercise. Again, no tempo yet. No tempo just yet because we're taking baby steps, okay? If the 2-5-1 is too difficult for you, just work on one chord. Again, the more controlled environment, the better, because we're going to move to the least controlled environment, which is complete, you know, execution of improvisation spontaneously. That's the least controlled thing, right? So now we flip a metronome on and we have it clicking away. And the goal here in a still controlled environment, when I say controlled environment, I mean, I'm just using one chord. That's a very simple controlled environment. I'm not having to switch between chords. I'm not having to read notes. I'm not having to think ahead. Everything's very controlled, safe feeling, so I can work on my half step below approach. But I have a little bit of time now. My metronome's beating. So I might click, 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 maybe 80. And I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to start a line and create one every 4 beats. So and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1, 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4. 2, 3. So I'm getting used to some time, a little bit of pressure, right? So it's a little less controlled than what I just did without the metronome, okay? Now to step this up a little bit, to make it a little bit, you know, less controlled, I can start to do progressions now with my metronome. So I can go 2-5-1 progressions, right? So now I'll do a 2-5-1. 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? So now I'm still in a controlled environment, meaning a 2-5-1. I'm not reading brand new tunes yet or any tunes that I'm working on. I'm practicing. Maybe you do a different key. Maybe you up the tempo. You're taking all these variables in step number 3, which is improv, right? It's not just, I am using an improv example, but you can use this with a voicing example too. Let's say you're working on voicings and now you want to practice the spontaneous art of using these voicings, right? Which is step number 3, improv. So it's not just improv in your right hand. It's improvisational practice with the tool that you're using, because your goal is to be able to spontaneously use that tool in any tune spontaneously, right? That's the true art of improvisation, being able to just bust it out and play it, right? So let's say you're working on your altered chord, right? I want to be able to play that spontaneously, so I need to work on it in a controlled environment. So I'm going to comp with it over like a C7 maybe, and I'll throw a metronome on and just practice some comps, rhythmic comps over one chord. 2, 3, 4, 1, and 2, 3, 4, 1, and 2, 3, 1, and 2, and 3, 4, 1, and 2, and 3. Now that's a very controlled environment. I'm using one voicing, I'm using one chord, and the metronome's clicking away. My next goal is to make that a little bit less controlled. So I'm gonna take a variable, and I'm gonna pick one of the variables, and I'm gonna say, okay, now I'm gonna change a variable. I'm gonna use two voicings. So I'm going to go from this voicing to this voicing and comp with those two voicings. So I've upped one variable by just a smidge, just a smidge. I'm not going all the way into tunes just yet. That's too far advanced. It's way too far advanced, right? Baby steps here, okay? So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4, 1, and 2, and 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 1, 2, and 3. So now I'm getting used to moving back and forth between these two voicings. So what could a next step be for you? You can start to use it in 2-5-1s, right? So maybe instead of just one chord, we up a progression variable and we say, okay, now in this progression, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and 3, 4, 1, 2. Now I'm using a rootless voicing, but I'm playing an altered chord over the dominant. So I've upped the variable a little bit. I've made my environment a little bit less controlled, but we're still in a safe environment. We know we're playing 2-5-1s that we know, and we're practicing the improvisational art of spontaneity, right? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's my new tool that I'm working on, that voicing, right? And I'll come back around. 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, and 2, and 3, 4, 1. So I'm getting used to the tool in using it in an improvised way, meaning I'm picking the rhythms, I'm choosing between this voicing or this voicing, but I'm still in a controlled environment. So we want to try to keep making it as less controlled as possible. So now maybe I'll do two different 2-5-1s. I could do this 2-5-1 to this, and then maybe I go to this, right? So you get the picture. You keep moving up these levers that help you put you in a more uncomfortable position to learn the tool. Now, after you've done that, obviously the amount of keys that you work on, if you're working on a voicing or if you're working on improv, right, it's gonna determine how many tunes you can play. So this is why teachers always recommend playing in as many keys as possible, because when you open up to a tune, and let's say I open up to a tune and I wanna play an F7 altered, let's say I've practiced my F7 altered, but if I see a B flat 7 chord, I won't know to do this because I haven't practiced that key, right? So it's kind of, you know, it's withholding. It's kind of handcuffing me to play over a tune that has a B flat 7 chord in it, right? But let's say I have practiced my F7 chord going through these three steps. I've learned the theory, I've practiced the execution of it, And I've practiced the spontaneous art of comping with it to help myself feel comfortable about just utilizing it and integrate it in a spontaneous way, but in a controlled environment. The last step is repertoire, to integrate your tool and all the work you've done into a tune, right? Pick a tune that you have F7 chords in and start to utilize your tool, right? So now in Autumn Leaves, if I'm comping through Autumn Leaves, I can do this. You know? And let's say you know these other chords, you'll just keep comping through this. Maybe use an altered chord over the D7 if you've practiced that. But the purpose here is now we're finally at the integration stages of our tool into a tune, which is the final step. That's the very final step, right? It doesn't start first. So many students start to play tunes first. Tunes are great for certain purposes, but in order to get better at jazz, you have to get more specific. You have to get more meticulous, more granular, more surgical, and pick out concepts that you want to work on to get better at, and then bring them into the tunes. Because the tunes isn't really what helps you get better. You could be playing a tune very, very poorly over and over and over again, and just practicing that tune in a very poor way. And that's what most students do, right? The tune is just a set of changes. It's tools and theoretical concepts that actually help you get better, play the tune better. It's not the tune that helps you play better. It's these small bite-sized concepts, like maybe a reharm. Let's say you want to focus on that reharm. Now you could play Autumn Leaves with that reharm, right? And then you could solo over the reharm as well. So it's not about the tune. And again, the final step is taking all the work you've done on that particular concept, using that four-step process: theory, technique, improv, and the fourth step is repertoire, meaning you start to integrate that tool where you can and over the certain changes that you've played in specific tunes, and that way you're starting to get comfortable utilizing that tool in tunes. So when you go to play those tunes in a live setting or a performance setting, or when you sit down at the piano, those tools will start to shine automatically. They'll start to shine naturally in your playing without you having to read music, without you having to think about it, without you hesitating, without you feeling doubtful, right, or insecure. Because you've worked on a systematic process to play that tool, you can now integrate them into any tune you want, and it truly achieves jazz piano freedom for the pianist, okay? I know that was a lot of information I jam-packed in 27 minutes. Wow, that went a lot longer than I thought it was. But when you use this system, it's going to really help you achieve results so much faster, like 100 times faster. It's the system that I use inside of Jazz Piano School. Pick and focus on a concept. Work on a specific, very bite-sized concept. Bring it through the four-step process that I just taught you. And I promise you, you'll start to see amazing results so much quicker in your playing. And you'll achieve your jazz piano goal so much faster than you ever could imagine. Okay? All right. That's enough for today. I'll see you in the next lesson. Take care and have a great day.